Okay, let's begin our pre-Shavuos discussion. We have 48 hours, a little less than four, about 45 hours until Shavuos, Havalalena Latova, which is a day that we celebrate. A day that we celebrate Torah, a day that we celebrate. If we're celebrating Torah, then we're also celebrating Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously the personality related to Torah. We celebrate Moshe on Shavuos, and it's been pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu's due date was Shavuos. Right, and that's why, because if he was born in Adar and he was born 3 months early, so then, you know, 3 months later is his due, if there was such a thing as a due date. You know, what's your due date? The day that you're born is the day that you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, is when you're due. You know, that's really the, but, you know what we mean, that there is a connection and potential, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's talk a little bit about Moshe through a fascinating chain of we're going to follow a thread of topic through a sugya. In a few minutes. But first we'll have a little background. And that is, okay, you see the topic, did Moshe know everything? So first let's talk about what we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we'll ask this question again. And that is, was Moshe Rabbeinu the ultimate in Nevuah? Yes. That's no question. No question that he reached the highest levels in Nevuah. The Rambam says as in source number one, Yisod HaShavi Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, that one of the Yisodos, one of the 13 principles of faith, as we know, is the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, not just Nevuah. Number six was believing in Nevuah. We've spoken about that in the past, what the Yisod is about, that we believe in prophecy, we believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu communicates with mankind. And Yisod number seven is Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenamin Shehu Avien Shalkal HaNeviim Shekadmu Lefanav V'Habayim Acharav. He is the father of all Neviim that preceded him and that follow him. Hakol heim lamata mimenu b'mala. They are all inferior in terms of quality.
Why is it so fundamental?
That's a great question. So it's not our topic, so much our topic right now. Maybe we'll touch on it in a minute. It's fundamental because of another episode that we'll mention in a second. V'hu b'chir Hashem mikol hamin ha'enoshi. And he is the chosen. He is the chosen out of any other individual. Asher hisig mimenu yisala yosim asher hisig, that more than anyone ever achieved and understood. V'yasig kal adam shenimsa v'sheimas v'imsa. Any person that lived or that will live, nobody will achieve in terms of nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. V'shehu alav ashalom egiyah l'tachlos haromim was be'alanoshin. He reached the highest levels. Asher hisig amala malachit, till he reached the levels of the angels. V'nas mazam alachim lo nishal v'faram shum mesech. There was no screen. There was no screen that was between him, like that made it a little blurry. Shalo karao, that he didn't rip apart in intellectually. Velo atzar ba'ado shum ma'atzar gufani. His physical being didn't prevent him from connecting. Velo nisharo shum dar mechisaro lo madlam arbe. So he was the ultimate Navi. The ultimate Navi. The Rambam even says when he talks about Mashiach, a fascinating lashon. The Rambam says, Mashiach in Hilchos Tshuva will be a greater chacham than Shlomo HaMelech, and a Navi a little bit less than Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. So in terms of Nevuah, that's not what we're talking about tonight. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimate in Nevuah. In terms of his midos, in terms of fulfilling, you know, working on himself and perfecting himself, we're also not going to talk too much about that, because he ultimately reached the highest levels of perfection that anyone could reach in terms of midos. It doesn't mean that he was born perfect, but he worked on himself and perfected himself. And why am I saying that? There is, I think I mentioned this in other shiurim, an apocryphal story. What is apocryphal? Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Some people have said chas v'shalom, it's heretical. It's not Bikarsis to say over this story, but it's the Tiferes Yisrael. So he's one of the classic commentaries on Mishnah, and the Shilu Kubetzes also quotes this story. So is it true or not? It's there to teach a message, whether it's true or not. Again, there are doctoral theses written about this story. It's on the last Mishnah in Kiddushin, on the line Tov Shebarofim LeGehenim. Right, the best doctors are going to Gehenim. So on that line, my father wrote an article where he quoted about 15 different pshatim about what that is. What does that mean? My father's a doctor, as is most of my family. That's not the reason, because of that chazal, why I did not go into medicine. There's many other personality reasons. Anyway, so the Tiferes Yisrael quotes a story that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody heard about the great Moshe, and they wanted to know, you know, what exactly, what makes him tick. So what happened on line 4? His Or Melech Aravi Echad. There was one Arabian king, V'yishlach Tzayar Mufchar, who sent an expert artist to go draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Go draw me a picture. Go find the Jewish people, wherever they are, and draw me a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this guy goes on his horse, and he goes, and he finds Moshe Rabbeinu, and he draws a picture, and he brings it back to this Arabian king. And the Arabian king then takes his professional face reader and says to his face reader, look at this picture and tell me about this man. Tell me about how great he is, how perfect he is. And he says, who is this? He says, it's the great Moses. Who do you think it is? He says, it is? You sure? Yes, yeah. You sure? Nomar l'Adonenu, line 8. He's not perfect. I don't know, looking at this picture. Again, he uses extreme words that we wouldn't use, but the point of the story is that maybe he had an anger management issue. This person said, the face reader said, Shriris Halev, Ubakala Chesrono Sheba Olam, Shiganu Nefesh Adamale. He said all these terrible things about his personality. The Yixav HaMelech Mo, the king starts getting angry. Mazeh! Hachat is Alubi making fun of me. What are you talking about? This is great Moses. What are you talking about? All these faults and all these things. I've heard the opposite regarding all of these things that you say. But everybody was scared. And the king says, you want a job done? You got to do it yourself. So he gets on his own horse and he goes to find Am Yisrael in the desert. And finally he comes, Yisrael, line 13. He saw Moshe, he takes out his picture. He puts it to Moshe. He looks at the picture, looks at Moshe. Look, it's exactly the same. The artist didn't mess up. The artist got it right. Says, what is going on here? He comes to the tent. He bows down to him. He says to Moshe, could you please explain to me? What, so is my face reader messed up? Does he not know face reading anymore? I have to replace him? Says Moshe, where it's underlined now, Lokain, Gam Atzayar, Gam Chachamecha, Nifloi Mein B'Diyas M'Chachmasam. No, they're perfect. Your artist is great, and your face reader is great. But let me tell you, you think I was born Moshe Rabbeinu? You think, you know, so to speak, Moshe didn't say this, but you think I'm perfect based on, like, Hashem made me perfect? I have tendencies like everybody else has tendencies. We know Chazal tells Moshe Rabbeinu got angry a number of times. So I have tendencies too. Ki lule ayisi b'teva be'emes, ki bisha shamatimi midosai, lo tovo nechim min bul eitz yavesh. If I didn't have things to overcome, then what good am I? What did I perfect? I didn't perfect anything. Ki ba mimenu nimnu v'nechshu kol chesronos ho adam. If I was born perfect, how could I be a Rebbe? How could I be a teacher? How could I relate? So Moshe Rabbeinu reached potential. So that's also what we're not going to talk about. In terms of Nevuah, Moshe reached the highest levels, and we know that that's one of the Animamins. In terms of perfecting himself and reaching his potential, in Midos, that's also not up for discussion. Just to relate it to that, there's a gorgeous Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. It's the rest of before I gave it to you. On Pirkei Avos. It's on the first mission of Pirkei Avos. We quotes that there are many sources, not many, numerous sources that point this out, that there are four people that we know in Tanakh that had their name mentioned by Hashem twice in a row. Four people. Who are those people? Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, Shmuel Shmuel. Those four. If you look in the Torah, in a Chumash, right, that between Avram Avram, there's a little line, as if like to tell the Baal Korah, pause. Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, there is a line, right, a vertical line. There's no line between Moshe, Moshe. There's no line between the two Moshes. So first of all, to catch that is like, wow. Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, he's quoting earlier sources, maybe Kabbalistic sources, maybe a Zohar. He quotes, because what are the two Avram Avram, it's potential Avraham and actual Avraham. So they were very, very close, but there was a little line between Avram and Avraham. He did 99% of his potential, whatever it is. It was a little line. The goal of our life is to make the line as skinny as possible. Right? Between the two Eli-Elis. Between the two, right? As little as possible, as skinny. Moshe Rabbeinu had no line. Because he fulfilled his task in terms of potential, in terms of his... we're focusing on it, right? He says, Moshe lo pasik tame begave, shen izdakech etzlo haguf kolkach, who was so purified, ad shelo hayachotze tu mafsik klau, bein ha'aretz ha'nesham, k'shi ba'olam ha'elyon, l'kishihi beguf. So in terms of his perfection in Midos, we're not talking about that either. And finally, what about his chachma? So that's what we're going to focus on. His knowledge, his wisdom. We're not going to focus on or ask about his koach of Misora. The wisdom in terms of his giving over Torah, that's also not up for discussion. And this, what you asked before, why do we have to believe he's a unique Navi? Why is that a Yesod? Because he's the one that gave us the Torah. And if we wouldn't believe his uniqueness in terms of Nevuah as a Navi who gave us the Torah, that would already call into question the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky notes this in the beginning of Parshas Matos, where he comments on the Rashi. Rashi, the beginning of Matos, talks about how all other Nevi'im talk in Ko Amar Hashem, so said Hashem, which means they take a vision and they interpret it and they repeat it over in their own way. Moshe Rabbeinu, Zeh Hadavar. Asher Tziv Hashem. Only Moshe has Zeh. Chazal tell us that Zeh always reflects clarity of vision, the ability to point. Right? Whenever you have Zeh in the Torah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, what Hashem do? He pointed to the moon. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. B'neinu Zeh Soer Amora. They point. V'Zeh Maisa HaMenorah. Zeh, the point, right, is always, Zeh was Moshe Rabbeinu. Zeh HaDavar, that's his Nevuah. Right, that's Moshe Rabbeinu was totally his. He didn't add his own personal view of the Nevuah that he received. It was straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was ultimate Mesorah. That is, Rabbi Yaakov says that in a context without getting into it. Right, just look at the end of the second column. Mashen ki b'Moshe Rabbeinu shemasalon was haTorah bezeh adavar mamish ki kabalaso b'li ezish tatzvut miyishiyusu apratis, without any personal negias. So in terms of his koach of Mesorah giving all the Torah, that's also not up for discussion. So his nevuah, his perfection of Midos, and his koach of Mesorah. But we're going to talk about his general knowledge. And you'll see what we mean as we go through. Now we start. Now we start the thread going from the early Achronim. Every couple hundred years, we'll see a comment. It starts with a Gemara and then a Taz. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, the second to last daf, those who learned Daf Yomi did it last week. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota, Chav Mem Ches Mabez, you have it there in source number 6. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no more Shamir. The Shamir, the special worm used in the Binyan HaMikdash, that was put away. So Gemara wonders, what did they use that shamir for, that special worm? What did they use that shamir for? So the Gemara says, shamir l'mayasa, yibay l'lik etanya, avanim alalu, the special avnei ephod, or the, right, the avnei, there were 12 stones on the avnei choshen, on the Kohen Gadol's chest, and there were 2 stones on his shoulders, avnei ephod, one on each shoulder. Says the Gemara, you had, and all the Shvatim's names were in on the ephod. Right, on the 2 on the shoulders, 6 and 6. And on the choshen, they were all written. How were they written? You weren't allowed to write. En kosen osam b'tio. They weren't allowed to be used with ink. You can't take ink and write on the stones. Mishum shenemar pituche chosam. It has to be signet. It has to be engraved. Ve mesartan olam bizemo, but you're also not allowed to use a sharp instrument on the stones. Mishum shenemar b'milo osam, they have to be complete and whole. So how do you engrave something in stone without being mechaser it and cutting it. So what do you do? So what they do, elakosei v'alem b'dio, they put ink on the stones, they wrote the letters on the stones, umar lahem shamir mibachutz, and they put the worm on top of the ink, and it compressed it. Wherever the worm, they put the worm on each of the letters, it pushed it down. So it wasn't cut, you weren't missing anything, and it wasn't writing. It was engraved. There's a difference between ksiv and chakika in halacha. So this is chakika. Vehin nifkaos me'alehen. It's split on its own. Kiteinu zu like a fig. She nifkaos b'imos hachama like a fig that opens up in the summer. Veina chaser klum. Nothing's missing from the fig. It's a fig. It just opens. It pops. So here too, this stone, nothing was removed from it. Okay. Fun, wonderful, amazing. And I got it up. Right, so that's how you had chakika. It was engraved without cutting it. The Taz uses this in source number 7 for a very unusual, in a very unusual context. The Taz died in 1667. Right, he was in Tafatat, one of the classic, the first generation Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Mothers, the Shach, the Sma, the Chavos Bachokek. They're all 1600s. Around the Shulchan Aruch, every 100 years. 1700s, the Gra, Kibeger, 1800s, Pesach Shuba, keeps going. So anyway, so the Taz in Hilchas Sefer Torah discusses whether printed texts have the status of Kedusha. Kedusha's Ksav. Like an old Sfarim, now we have to nowadays. They're not written. They were printed in a machine with ink. Does that have the status of Kedusha? Does it have Kedusha like others, like Sfarim? That's what he's dealing with. It was created about 150 years before the Taz, right? Gutenberg invented the printing press around 1436. So it was about 150, 200 years before the Taz. So the Taz is dealing with, does it have Kedusha? So says the Taz, yes. It's called Ksav. Printing is called ksav. And I'll prove to you why from a Gemara. Which Gemara? The Gemara we just had. How does the Gemara we just had have anything to do with anything? Says the Taz. He quotes the Gemara. He says, look, first line. Shamati Omer. I heard people say, Shein b'sfarim ha'nitfasim kedusha. The sfarim that were printed don't have kedusha. Kemo ha'nechtavim b'ksav. Printed is not the same as writing. I've heard people say that. I don't think there's a distinction. I think this is ksav. I think printing is ksav. Why? Skinny quotes one raya, which is not for us now. He quotes this. Bo nearly line 4. Raya brura. I have a clear raya. Miperke agla rufa. From Sota. And he quotes the Gemara that we just saw. And then he says, where it's underlined. Vimisa demaisa tvosavi chakika. And if you want to tell me that printing is not called writing, it's just some type of engraving, kasha minalan dehayadei shamir, shu davar shinamatsui, then why does the Gemara stuck in saying, oh, the only choice was to use the shamir, because that engraves and it's not writing? One second. Why didn't they just use printing then? If you say printing is engraving and not writing, then why didn't they use printing? And that they didn't have to go to the shamir, which is so unusual. It could be pituche chosam, right? It's printed if it's considered ksav. Why did the Gemara suggest that? It must be that would have been considered ksiva, and ksiva is not good enough for the Avnei Shoham. And if it's ksiva, it's not good enough for the Avnei Shoham, but it's good enough for Kedusha to be a sefer with Kedusha. This is the Taz, one of the classic commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. Takes his Gemara and puts it into Halach. We go a couple years later.
Wait, what does that mean practically?
What does that practically mean? Svarim have Kedusha. Doesn't have the same kedusha like cloth, but kedusha in terms of we'll get to nafkaminas right now. The Chavos Yair, Rav Yair Bachrach, right? He was nifter a little bit after the Taz, 1702. He was nifter, which is important to know the years. Rav Yair Bachrach, he was a rav in Germany, Worms, and he, in source number 8, discusses the shaila of having svarim in a room where a husband and wife are sleeping. Right, a husband and wife, if they want to be together, you know, they're not supposed to have svarim in the room. So they didn't have too many bedrooms in the houses there. I guess it was all, you know, one-bedroom apartments. So the question is, what do you do with your svarim? So the shaila is, oh, maybe printed svarim don't have full kedusha, and then we don't have to worry about it. That's the shaila. That's the context of the Chavos Yair. So he quotes, Shayla Tamachacham Ashari Bebe Be'aksa, Vehechrech Mibli Maklom Shisvarav Becheder Mishkavo, his svarim are in his room, Begam Mosachorev Akor, Sheishto Olav Yonek, he's with the baby and the wife, Shokh Mesachar, they're all together. And so what's the word? So, you can't put him outside. When you put him outside, it's going to get stolen, it's going to get cold, it's going to get ruined. Right? Is there a heter to, you know, you try to put him on a separate shelf, you try to cover them, lamaisa. Part of this issue is, does it have kedusha as far? Maybe it's not really, not called a safer. Says the Chavos Yair, right, quoting the Taz, who died 30 years before him. He thinks it does have kedusha, but he quotes the Taz's raya, and he does not agree. Where it's underlined, Av kilani as daiti. I agree with him that it's. Let's start earlier. He says rak masha ani koev mitzvah the top. Besides heter lo lalach lo lamaisa. What I thought maybe could be a heter, which is not lamaisa, just to mention mitzvah shein betfus. Right, 200 years earlier, we have tfus, we have printing. So maybe there's a difference. He quotes the years. And he quotes, look at the Taz. The Avkil, and he has the idea, I don't know what the Taz is talking about, says the Chavos Yair. They didn't use printing. Oh, that would have been better than the Shamir. They didn't use printing. So that's a raya, then it must be ksiva na hakika, says the Chavos Yair. They didn't use printing because it wasn't invented yet. That's why they didn't use printing. He says, "Eno chakto klum mipnei shelo yadu lefnei shin shana v'inyan atfus." The Gemara was written about the year 500, and then the printing press was invented 900 years later. Avki reisi v'sefer kol hashem shei benimso v'yamer chamonin barzile muchanin latfus. There was some type of printable something. Okay, lo osios nifradim. They could print like not separate letters. Rak milos shlemos mila b'mila ritzufa. Lochein ein raya me'ukum tas hashas betas. Says the Chavos Yair, I beg to differ with the raya. How could you say it wasn't invented yet?
The Taz knows that.
Okay, the Taz obviously does not agree.
Also, wouldn't
have been that. The Taz is the Taz. The Chavos Yair argues on the Taz. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Is the debate whether the Gemara knew that they had printing press going down, or whether it's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu did
not? Well, we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu right now. We're talking about in the Mishkan, we are talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. Did the Gemara, and we're actually right. We're not talking about the Gemara. We're even talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Right? Because it's that the Gemara is telling the story about what happened earlier. And the Taz's Raya is saying, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu use printing? It must be because it would have been Ksav also. That's what the Taz says. And the Chavos Yair says, thousands, not just 900 years, thousands of years later. Let's keep going. Yeah.
That's the way to do it at a normal...
Okay, so a little bit later.
No, at least faster than writing something, meaning that you can do it in...
Okay, these, so there was some type of printing.
But I think the point still stands that, regardless of all of this, that the solution of the Gemara, and therefore of Moshe Rabbeinu is to come up with a word. Instead of coming up with a way that, why did Moshe Rabbeinu figure out if we're going to rely on it that it doesn't exist, why not rely on printing?
Okay, but the Taz says printing was more common than using a worm that sinks, right? And because they used the worm, it must be that printing wouldn't have been halachically okay.
They could have made that out.
That's what the Taz is assuming. Taz is assuming that the printing they could have figured out, or maybe they even had it and they didn't use it, but Pashus, they could have figured it out. Says the Knesset Yechezkel. Let's keep moving. The Knesset Yechezkel, this is now, I don't know, about 80 years later, or Yechezkel Katzenel and Bogen. That's a great last name. Right? That's a great last name, Katzenel and Bogen. I once heard him discussed. He was an unbelievable Gaon, a Gaon Atzum. There was only one problem with him. He lived at the same door as the Vilna Gaon and Pnei Yoshua and some other great Gdolim. So like, you know, if you were in the door of the Pnei Yoshua and the Gra and others, so like, you feel a little bad that even though you're the Gadol Ador, that you're not as famous. But anyway, says the Knesset Yechezkel, source number 9. He quotes the Taz and he quotes the Chavos Yoir, and look what he says in source number 9. Uba Mechilas Kvodo. That's always an introduction of, I'm about to argue with you. Take a chill, and ask Mechila. But I'm about to blast you. V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu Olam HaShalom. Asher Diber Peh El Peh. You're telling me Moshe Rabbeinu spoke face to face with God. V'shlomo Asher Olav Ne'emar V'yachka Mikol Adam. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the smartest man in the history of the world. Lo Yadu L'hamsi Chachmas Atfus. They couldn't figure it out. Achakom Chacham Michumos. Until some non-Jewish inventor came along and invented it. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God face to face. Shlomo Melech was the wisest of all men. Come on, says the Knesset Yechezkel. He defends the Taz. It must be, no. It must be that they could have figured it out, but they didn't need it. Because Dvarim Shebichsav at that time, Dvarim Shebichsav couldn't be written down. Dvarim Shebichsav, Dvarim Shebichsav was written down. Dvarim Shebichsav, Lohay Rashon Lifto, Bechulu. But if it would have been good for the Avnei Eifod, Lama Lo Emsiu Shlom Moshe Shlom Chachmas Atzvus, why didn't they invent it? Elavadai Kemoshakasa Vataz, the Taz must be right, Usvasayim Yishak, which means, that's a lashon of saying, you know, kissed lips. Beautiful, the Taz. Beautiful. Defend
it. It's hard to say, because you can say they could invent electricity.
Okay, we're talking about this. Maybe there were reasons they didn't feel there was a need for that either. We could use candles. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't use printing because it's nothing. It's not chikikan. It's not tiva. It's just nothing.
I don't know. Nothing. I know. It has to be. Okay, it could be, but the Taz is assuming it's one or the other because there is something going on the paper. Something going on the paper. And again, it might not be like look we have today without any feel. You know, I'm assuming the original tefus you could feel the letters. You know, the ink was above the. Was above the surface of the paper. So we have the Taz, and the Chavos Yoir who argues on the Taz, and the Knesset Yechezkel who defends the Taz against the Chavos Yoir, and finally, to finish this section, the Maariz Chayes. Maariz Chayes is one of the latest rabbis to get into the back of the Gemara. Right, 1800s, Maariz Chayes, or Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, he wasn't just a huge gadol, he was a scholar. He was a scholar, he had a doctorate, or he learned a lot of university studies. He always has something fascinating to say in the back of the Gemara. So the Maariz Chayes in the Tshuva, though, writes, he quotes the Taz and the Chavos Yoir and the Knesset Yechezkel, and look what he says, source number 10, Kvodo HaGodol Sharav Knesset Yechezkel B'mkom HaMunach. The Knesset Yechezkel said, B'mechilas Kvodo, keep your covet over there. So the Maariz Chayes says, you can keep your covet over there, too. He says, V'dvarav bazeh ena min ha-matzmiyim. What in the world is he talking about? He says at the Knesset Yechezkel. V'lo zeh aderech lefalpel. B'ma shenogeh lo tzoh asadinim. Be'emes. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu lo kam kamoso b'nevua. There was nobody like Moshe in nevua. V'shlomo lo kam kamoso b'chachma. In wisdom. But. Ulam Hashem Yisparach hibit v'ra'a mireishis. But Hashem saw from earlier generations, from the beginning of history, Ugvulos chalak lekol hazmanim v'hadoros lehashlamas hachachmos. The principle called the unfolding of human knowledge. Right? Or the doctrine of progress. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it in mind to give certain generations certain wisdoms and certain abilities to invent certain things at different times in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees fit. And that's not a chisaron in the chachma of Shlomo. And that's not a lack in the chachma of Moshe to say that it wasn't invented yet. Sometimes, like we see in our generation, we see over the past 50 years, it's a crazy amount of wisdom Hashem put into the world. like unfathomable. Like how much was invented between 1850 and 1950? Like how much? Okay, an airplane. That's big, but that's it. That's it. You got some cars going, but like life. Like you had electricity. Once electricity, there was nothing as big as that in like 300 years around it. But over the past 50 years, how life has totally changed. The computer. Forget the internet. A computer. When I was growing up, I didn't have a computer. I remember the first kid in my elementary school class that got a computer. I remember. It was like in seventh grade. So-and-so got a computer. I remember. An Apple. When I was in like sixth, seventh grade. I'm like, wow. I went to college. I did not write one paper on the computer. It was all by hand. I'm not so old. Right? But it was just like some people had it then, but I was like, it was easier for me to just write. So I can't type fast. But anyway, says the Maharitz Chayes that the doctrine of unfolding of human knowledge, and therefore to say that Moshe didn't know something is not heretical and is not wrong. And I'll just add the Gemara Menachas, when the Gemara Menachas with Rabbi Akiva, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown Rabbi Akiva in the future, and Moshe didn't understand a word Rabbi Akiva was saying. What do you mean? How could Moshe Rabbeinu not understand something? Well, he didn't know Rabbi Sosa and Nesivis. He couldn't understand Rabbi Akiva Kasha. Rabbi Akiva was giving shiur. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Until somebody asks the question, he says, oh, halach Moshe B'Sinai. Okay, I'm good. But you see, good, that all comes from the same source. But this is the fascinating thread. And you see two different views amongst the great Mefarshim. A message that we could take from each view. It's two views about Moshe Rabbeinu's and Shlomo's knowledge, but we can learn something from each one. Again, we're not discussing here about science and Torah. It's a related topic, but it's not this topic. How sometimes science and Torah come, you know, don't fit in with each other, let's say. And we're not discussing here Das Torah, about asking the rabbi about something outside of Halacha. Okay, that's not... But I think there's two ideas that we could learn, and they're opposite but complementary. They're opposite but complementary. First, from the, let's call it, the less Western-thinking type of view. The Taz and the Knesset Yechezkel. How can you say that? Definitely... You know what you learn from there? They have such fealty and mishubinness, if that's a word, to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's unbelievable how they view, again, not just in terms of Nevuah, but, you know, they say Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, it could be based on the fact that, you know, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew everything in Surah number 12, even non the Torah, the discussions of the Malachi Ashares and the Shadim and the trees. But they held Moshe Rabbeinu in unbelievable esteem. And it's impossible for Moshe not to have known something. That's amazing. And we can learn from that, how to view Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, even if we don't take it to their degree, but we have to remember, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is one of the Animamins, in terms of Nevuah, in terms of his greatness. And that's one message. There's an opposite message, but it's not really opposite, it's complementary. And that is, there are new realities that earlier Doros were not aware of. That's true. There are new realities. But does that mean that the Torah has nothing to say about those new realities? Does that mean the Torah is not a Torah Chaim and can't figure out exactly? No. The Torah has something to say about every new reality that comes up. Right, look at the table of contents of any tshuva sefer. I just looked at my shelf today. I'm like, okay, let me just pick one of these. I just picked one of the gray matters. Right, live organ donations, separating conjoined twins, a dental clinic in an apartment building, air travel on a fast day, showering on Yontif, women firing weapons, nezek done when playing sports. I mean, these are all the Torah has something to say about everything. And that's a message that we can learn from the second group. Yes, new realities, but Torah has something to say. And the Torah relates to every... Is it Ksiva, is it Chakika? Yeah, we can talk about that. The Torah, it is one or the other. It is a category. Right? What's the status of a fetus? What's a maisa? What's kavana? Everything can be discussed. As long as, just one caveat, within this approach, to apply to the Torah to all these new realities, the posig needs to be involved and understand the world around him. And to understand and live those new realities. And that is a message that two of the great Achronim say, two very different. We have the Mabit. Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Cairo and Sfat, Beis Elokim, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, we have Radishev, who said it 200 years after the Mabit, but you have them both. They both say the same thing in their own language. And the question is, it's a wonderful question. I saw this years ago. Who quotes this? Why do I know this? Who quotes this? I don't know Mabit, St. Lucius Levi's. The Ema, but I don't know Ema Banam Smeichas either, but the Ema Banam Smeichas, Rav Tachtel, quotes both of these. Remember, he wrote the whole Sefer by memory. So he quotes this idea. He says, why in Gemara do we have Teku? Right. Teku literally means it to stand. But Teku, we know, stands for Tishbi Taras Kushis Vabayas. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to answer all of our questions. Why Eliyahu HaNavi? And it's going to be at the time in the future. So why isn't it Moshe? Moshe was our greatest Rebbe. Why isn't it Meku? Right? Why is it Teku? Tishbi Taras. Should be Meku. So explain both the Mabit and the Rav Levi Yitzchak. Because to answer halacha questions, applying the Torah to the new realities, you have to be living in that door. You have to be connected to that door. Only Eliyahu HaNavi is here today. Most of the time, he comes to every bris and to every seder in his neshama. Chafetz Chaim Sofer has an important tshuva that sometimes he comes with his guf. You have stories in Shas about some Tana. I'm talking about that with Eliyahu HaNavi. They're not talking to an invisible. They're talking to Eliyahu HaNavi in a goof. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi went into Harvona's goof. Whatever. So, so it's Teku. Because Moshe Rabbeinu can't answer questions about the internet. Kiveiker can't answer questions about, you know, airplanes. So, yes, every new generation has new realities, but the Torah has something to say. And as long as the posek is involved in the world and living in the world, he could apply the Torah. So, it's dafka, not meku, it's teku. So, we learn a message of the uniqueness of Moshe and the power of Moshe and the fealty that they feel to Moshe Rabbeinu. But at the same time, we recognize that every posek and every generation stands in Moshe Rabbeinu's shoes. But they're the ones that we looked at. Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. Right? We look at the poskim in every generation, and they apply for us the amazing quality of Torah, being able to apply and define every single new reality that comes upon us. So we celebrate Moshe Rabbeinu, his nevuah. Does he know everything? We'll leave that as an open question, and feel free to follow and to think about each of these Jesus. Okay, we'll stop here.